everyone. Thank you for joining me today. New Hope Radio, Dave Therrien. Good to be with you. We're talking for a few days about hope. Hope for the future. And hope for the future, it comes through one person. And that's Jesus Christ. I really want you to get that down. And you know why we need to get that down? Because we're going to see today that the Lord Jesus, he's our shepherd. And what does a shepherd do? Oh, you're going to find out today. Glad you tuned in. You know, a big part of shepherding is caring. And it's good to know when someone cares about you. You know, you feel good when somebody cares about you. How about your pet? You got a dog? You got a cat? They feel good when you care about them. I don't know about the fish. I don't know if they can tell. But even if you have a bird, birds know. Oh, yeah. I was watching a video today about a little baby duck. Came out of an egg. It's a little duckling. Became a duck. I started thinking, I want a duck. I want to have a duck. A pet duck. Put him on a harness, took him for walks. He was a loving little feathery friend. Anyway, when someone cares about you, you feel safe. And when you feel safe, you have hope. And when you have hope, you know you have a future. So we're talking about Jesus, our hope for the future. And we're learning that he is our only true hope. And you know what else? He provides the best future anyone could ever desire. He really does. There's no better future you can have apart from Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to drive home. Because you see, as believers, we live with the hope of heaven. And remember what we said, the word hope, elpis in the Greek language, means confident expectation. That's what it means. It's not a wish. It's not a desire. It's a guarantee. It's a certainty. Heaven is a certainty for those that follow Christ. So let's take a look today at another aspect of Jesus and see a beautiful picture of Christ our shepherd. Now, in order to understand that, let's rewind a couple of thousand years. The life of the ancient shepherd was kind of an oxymoron or a type of contradiction, because the shepherd, he led a simple, lowly life, right? Simple, lowly life. Yet, he fulfilled a very important role. He tended the sheep. It wasn't an admirable role to be a shepherd, but it was a much needed, necessary role. People depended on shepherds because they depended on sheep for food, for wool, even for sacrifices. So sheep were a very big part of the Palestinian culture. And even though the shepherds were considered lowly, man, they provided a phenomenal service for people. The shepherd had to care for the sheep, feed the sheep, lead the sheep, protect the sheep. Now, there were some shepherds that were hired by the sheep owners to carry out this task. So, like I said, what did a shepherd do when he went to work every day? He would lead the sheep to places where they could find good food, good pasture. I had an uncle, God bless his soul, and he had a farm, and he had sheep. And he'd always give me lessons about things that are going on the farm. And one day he said, you know, David, and I knew when he said, you know, David, a lesson was coming. Oh, yeah. He said, you know, David, sheep will eat anything. And that's why you got to give them good food. And they would eat the bark off the trees. You'd see trees out there with no bark on them. But bark wasn't healthy. So they'll eat anything. So you have to provide good food because they'll eat sticks and they'll get sick. So that's the job of the shepherd, to lead them to good food. What did David say? He leads me beside green pastures. Also, he has to provide fresh drinking water. Good water through a stream or find a well. Water had to be good and clean. He had to protect the sheep from predators. You know, there's animals out there, man. They want to eat those sheep. Lions and tigers and bears, right? They want to eat the sheep. And then there's thieves, bad guys. They want to come and they want to steal the sheep. And the shepherd, he was like an ancient Navy SEAL protecting those sheep, right? He's a brave guy. As a matter of fact, God said to Israel through the prophet Ezekiel, now listen to this, in Ezekiel 34:22, he said, I will deliver my flock. The flock represents Israel. I will deliver my flock, and they will no longer be a prey, and I will judge between one sheep and another. And then I will set over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he will feed them, and he will feed them himself and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David will be prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken. Now, a shepherd was also a metaphor for a king. Good kings led their people with strength and wisdom, just as a good shepherd led his flock. But wait, Ezekiel is writing 500 years after King David's reign. So it's like, oh, what's going on here? David reigned from 1050 to 970 BC. Ezekiel wrote around 571 BC. So Ezekiel wrote closer to the birth of Christ. So then he must be talking about someone else and not David. And I wonder if Jesus knew this prophecy. I'm sure he did. Because he said to his people in John chapter 10, verse 11, he said, I bet he's got the prophecy of Ezekiel in his mind. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. See, the good shepherd values his sheep more than his own life. Now, who would do that? Who would value sheep more than your own life? Jesus even talked about the hireling. When the wolf comes, he runs away. He doesn't care about those sheep. He cares about his life. But the good shepherd, oh no, he lays his life down for the sheep. And by the way, the shepherd, if he was going to be hired by sheep owners, he had a reputation to protect. If he couldn't keep sheep safe, he would never find employment. And if he lost any of the sheep, he'd have to pay for that lost sheep. So that's why the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He goes to battle for the sheep. He protects the sheep. He fights. What did young David say? Hey, a bear came and a lion came and grabbed the sheep and I ripped them right out of his mouth. I killed that bear. I killed that lion. I saved the lamb. Right? So the good shepherd, he puts his life on the line for the sheep. And he also protects his reputation. In his high priestly prayer, Jesus said in John 17, which is a beautiful prayer. If you ever want to be encouraged, read John 17. Jesus said, while I was with them, speaking of his disciples, I was keeping them in your name, praying to the Father, in your name, which you have given me. And I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, that was Judas, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. See, it was always in the knowledge, the foreknowledge of God, that Judas, well, he'd be a dirty rat, that he'd be a traitor, that he would be the betrayer. Okay? So when Jesus assembled his team of disciples, he purposely picked a faithless one. He said, did I myself not choose you, the 12, and yet one of you is a devil? Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he was one of the 12 who was going to betray him. Now, who does that? Who picks somebody to be on their team that's going to be an enemy? I mean, remember growing up when you played baseball in the sand lot, which we don't have any sand lots today, it seems. And you'd always, when you pick kids and put them on your team, you always pick the best kids first, and you pick, you know, the not-so-good kids last, right? Whoever picked the kid that strikes out all the time first? No one ever did that. Hey, you can have little Jimmy. No, man, he always strikes out. I'll take little Jimmy. He's my first pick. Nobody does that. But Jesus chose a devil. Goes to show him how much confidence he had. It's like, I put the devil on my team, I'll still beat him. I'll still defeat him, even though he's with me. See, that's the confidence Jesus had. Jesus said, I know the ones I've chosen. But it is that the scripture may be fulfilled. And here's the scripture. He who eats my bread has lifted up his heel against me. So Jesus knew. He kept his, of the 12 disciples, 11 of them, oh yeah, he kept them and protected them and watched over them. But Judas, it was never in the plan. It was known from the beginning that Judas wouldn't be like one of the other 11, that he would be a traitor, that he would be used by the devil to fulfill the plan of salvation and getting Christ to the cross. And then Jesus speaks about the Gentiles. Good thing, isn't it? Because that's what we are. In John 16, he said, and this didn't go over too well with the religious Jews. They didn't like it. He said, I have other sheep, which are not of this fold. Now, the religious people didn't like it because they're like, no, man, God's for us. He's not for you. He's not for everybody. He's for us. And Jesus said, oh, no, I have other sheep which are not of this fold, which are not of Israel. Now, this was the good news for the whole world. Thankfully, Jesus didn't confine himself to one nation, but he died for the sins of the whole world. Hebrews 2:9 says that he would taste death for every man. Man means person. He would taste death for everyone. So Jesus said, I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. See, how do you know if you belong to Christ? Because you follow his voice. You follow him. Another lesson my uncle gave, my Uncle Leon. He said, you know, David, I said, oh, here it comes. He had like 24 sheep. He said, I only name one. I said, why is that? He said, when I call the one, the rest follow. I said, oh. And he did it. He called the name of the sheep, whatever it was, I forget. Yeah, Flossie. Flossie came. And all the other sheep followed Flossie. How about that? And what did Jesus say? It's a biblical principle. They will hear my voice. And they'll become one flock with one shepherd. Now, this is good news for us because we are the other sheep. And remember Jesus said, a stranger they will not follow? And if I walked into the field where the sheep were, you know what they did? They ran away. I'm like, what's the matter with me? They didn't know me. They ran away. They scattered. They didn't know me. But when they saw my uncle, they came running. So you see, what Jesus said spiritually about his own flock and he being the good shepherd, it really is played out in the natural world. And Jesus said, I must, I like that part, I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice, and they will become one flock with one shepherd. I must means it is necessary. Why? Because this is what I came to do. Christ is saying, I came for this very reason. That's why later on in that little epistle in 1 John, he would say, speaking of Christ, he himself is the propitiation, which means the atonement for our sins. Oh, but not for ours only. Also those of the whole world. The whole world. Imagine the magnitude of the sacrifice of Christ for every sin of every person that was ever born. In Togo, West Africa, we talked about this before, we went to a small village called Ifrata. And there was a man there named Sylvester. And he was a wealthy businessman. And God called him to go up into the bush country of Ifrata, or Ifratha, actually. And he gave up his career. And he became a shepherd to the people. And he started a church and a Christian school. And we helped him build that school and support the school. So think of it. That there are people that literally lay down their lives for others. And he was one of them, Sylvester. And many of you that are listening right now, I'm sure you do it too. You lay your life down for other people. You might lay it down for your children. Maybe you lay your life down for your parents. Or you lay your life down for friends. You lay your life down for your church. You might even do it for a stranger. I don't know. But think of it. Why do we do it? Because we look at Jesus in action. Jesus is our shepherd. He laid his life down for us. And he gives us a future and a hope. You know, the Apostle Paul said, "For now we see in a mirror dimly. Oh, but then face to face." In other words, there's coming a day when everything will be made clear. Right now, things are kind of hazy. We don't understand everything. We don't see everything. But we do the best we can to get by. And the hope that we have is the fact that Jesus is our shepherd. And he's leading us. And he's protecting us. And he's loving us. And he's helping us. See, that's how we have to see Christ. We have to see him in a beautiful, personal relationship, and I hope you do. Do you see him personally? He's not that far away. He's not like the Greek gods of ancient history where their gods were untouchable and they were hard to please. No, we have a God that is personal, and he loves us, and he guides us and leads us, and he comforts us, and he fights off the bad guys. That's what he does. And that's why it's so important to spread God's word. We need to spread the word of God because in his word is the message of who Christ is and what he does. And that's why we're on Christian Radio, and that's why we have the Hope Club podcast. Because the podcast is going out, last I heard, which was like last year, and a report I got, we were in 37 countries with our podcast. That's incredible. I am like super humbled. 37 countries are like, are you kidding me? And we are. So I just want to take a minute and give you an opportunity to listen, and maybe you want to support the Hope Club and the Hope Club podcast. You know, this ministry is totally self-supported by generous givers. It's not supported by the church. No, it's supported by people that listen to the program, that listen to the podcast, and you guys are so generous, you're carrying all of our radio and podcast expenses. And I want to say thank you for that. And for those that are not familiar with it, I want to let you be a little familiar with it, and maybe you want to get on board, share in the joy of spreading the word of God, and you know what? Hopefully, I pray that you reap the rewards as well. The Hope Club is a membership of supporters of New Hope Radio heard daily here on WARV. Would you join the Hope Club and commit $3 a week? In return, you'll receive an audio file devotional in your email box every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You'll receive other bonuses as well. And of course, you'll have the joy of keeping New Hope Radio on the air. Just go to newhopecc.tv, scroll down to support, click e-giving, click choose fund, and then radio. Enough people joining the Hope Club will ensure that New Hope Radio stays on the air. And thanks for your support. That's it. It's that simple. And we have folks that do that, and I just want to say a big Thank you to those that do. And it, you know what? We have some they pay the whole year. We're so happy about that. Thank you for that. Some pay weekly, monthly. If you skip a week, that's okay. You're still going to get the devotionals. We work hard to put them out there, and we're going to give them to you. And we don't check. It's an honor system. You don't go looking through, well, who supported this week. We're going to trust you. And if you stopped giving, you're still going to get the emails, the devotionals, because I don't even know who stopped giving. I don't check. But we just want to continue to bless people with the Word of God. And that's why we do this, okay? So think of it. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration. I like this illustration because what they do is they kind of bring everything together, okay? Like I said, we don't understand everything clearly. We don't see everything clearly. I'm sure there are things in your life right now that you're looking for answers. Why? Why this? Why that? How? How did this happen? And we don't know. But that's why we have faith. But let me give you an illustration about a little boy. He came from an extremely poor family. He received no gifts at Christmas. But he often looked into the store windows at the exciting things other little boys could have. But he could not. So he would go to the store and stand on the sidewalk and put his face up against the window and look at the toys and just gaze and dream and think. And think of all the lucky kids that would get those toys that he saw through the window. Well, one day sickness took him to the hospital, and he's in his hospital bed. And one of the nurses came by and brought him a toy soldier to play with. And he touched it. And as he touched the toy soldier, he said, "There isn't any glass between us." He was so amazed that he could touch something, that he could experience the reality of it without being separated by the window, by the glass. Now, right now, there may be a glass between you and the things other people enjoy, or between you and the things that are happening that you don't understand. But the day will come when there will be no glass. The day will come when we will have complete understanding, full understanding. That's in our hopeful future. That's a certainty. So meanwhile, Christ is your shepherd. While we're down here on this giant pasture land called planet Earth, Christ is your shepherd. Let him lead you, feed you, guide you, protect you. Draw close to the shepherd. He'll always be there for you. You know, the sheep that wanders away, they put themselves in dangerous territory, right? They wander away. The wolf is afraid of the shepherd. So as long as the sheep is next to the shepherd, that sheep is protected. But if that little lamb wanders away and he gets on the perimeter outside of where the shepherd is, that wolf is like, he's licking his chops. Oh, I can get this one. And you know what Peter said? The devil's like a prowling lion. Say that three times. He prowls about like a lion, seeking someone to devour. That word devour means drink down. Drink down until there's nothing left. We can't afford to be far from the shepherd. It's too dangerous. It's too dangerous out there. The world is like a suction cup. Sucks us right down. Right down. It's a big toilet. And whoa, flush it. You're down. That's why we got to stay close. Got to be like that lady that reached out. She wanted a healing. Remember her? And she touched the hem of her garment. She grabbed that garment and she felt power come out of Jesus into her. And it healed her body. And she, because when she grabbed onto him, she felt that healing power. And we got to grab on to Jesus and don't let go. Hang on. Don't let anything come between you and him. Nothing. Not a person, not a thing, not a relationship, not a job, not anything. Because we can't afford it. He's the vine. We're the branches. We get our life from him. The life comes out of him into us, and we become fruitful. And that's what we're looking for, right? Fruit. And what is fruit? Joy. That's the making of a joyful life. But here's the key. You got to stay close to Jesus. Say, how do I stay close to him? You know what? You be in his word. You be faithful to church. You think about him throughout the day. You get around God's people. You have the heart of a servant. All of these things contribute to being close to Christ. We want to put ourselves in the environment of godliness. That's how we stay close to the shepherd. You stay in that environment. You know, if you sit among a rose bush, you're going to smell like roses. It's the environment that affects us. So think about that. Join the Hope Club. Love to have you come on board and help us with our radio outreach, our podcast outreach. You can hear this message again. Go to the Hope Club podcast anywhere online and our website, newhopecc.tv. And all our messages are there. Thank you for coming along. We'll see you next time as we talk a little bit more about our hope for the future.